Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
And welcome back. Join us this morning is Kel Gallivan. I've been talking about you all morning, Mrs. Smart Money. It's like your kind of financial drag names like that. Best-selling author, financial coach, who famously cut her family spending by €27,000 in a single year. That's a true story. She's built a huge following online, turning real-life experience into simple, practical hacks which help us all take control of our money. Kel Gallivan, welcome.
It is great to be here, Oliver.
You're very well. You had this incredible story. Remind us of how you changed your careers a couple of years ago. You're now the fourth person we've had in here this morning, this afternoon, where you changed your kind of jobs from multinationals into what you're doing now.
I could see a study coming from this now.
I know,
a really good in-depth longitudinal study. So no, my story actually started back a lot earlier than that. And I think a lot of people are going to resonate with my story in the sense that I bought a house right at the peak before the financial, yes.
God love you.
Yes, literally months before the whole really? Thing fell down. Yeah, but I hadn't a clue about money. And I remember at the time, and I signed for that mortgage and I'd signed for it myself. And I had no idea what was going to happen. Like I knew I was well able to work. I knew I was capable and I knew I was educated and all of that. But I could not predict something totally outside my control. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any skills around money. So suddenly I went from somebody who was working to with a mortgage to suddenly having a mortgage that was for a house that was in a ghost estate. So we couldn't actually, the long story is, short version I should say, we were in a ghost estate. We couldn't actually live in that house. So we ended up renting, still paying a mortgage, because when you take a mortgage down, you still have to pay it. We had two children in creche. My husband, he had gotten caught in the recession as well. So he was gone back to retrain. So it was just my income coming in. And suddenly we were very, very vulnerable from a financial perspective. Six figures of debt, nothing to show for it. It took us about 10 years to get rid of that debt.
Really?
And just to catch up on it, no holidays, nothing. It was awful. And I do not wish that on anybody. But it really started to make me think there's more than just earning money. It's more than just, you know, getting that money in the door. It's what you do with that money. But I remember the day we actually got back up to zero, as in the day where I remember looking at my husband going, do you know what? We're worth zero. We're worth nothing. Isn't that brilliant?
It felt like a lotto moment.
It felt like a lotto moment because we'd spent the decade before been worth nothing, always owing money for something that we could, it wasn't even an asset, it was nothing. It was a debt that we were paying off because we ended up selling that house for half what we bought it for, and that difference between what we bought it for and sold it for, we owed that.
You still owed it. No bailout for you.
No bailout for us whatsoever. Correct. So during that time, I still didn't have a healthy relationship with money. It was always get the money in the door, pay down the debt, you know, keep the kids going, keep the house going. And it kept going at that for a while. So we got past zero. We started building things back up again. But it hit a point where I was working all the time. And as much as I loved my job and my company were great, I was never at home. I was always away.
Right.
And one day I went to collect my son from school. So he's my second child. So he's in senior infants. So the two kids have been in school for quite some time. And I didn't recognize anybody in the schoolyard. And I went to collect up my son. And the teacher, very nice teacher, I must qualify that, goes, sorry, we don't know who you are. You cannot collect your child.
They've never seen you before.
They've never seen me before. And everybody knows the mom.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a hold up the mirror moment to me. And I kind of went, whoa, hold on. Yes, money is important. But like, I had these kids and I want to spend some time with them. So I ultimately handed in my notice, walked away from my 16-year career, had no idea what I was going to do. But I thought if I was going to cut her income in more than half, because I had been the breadwinner for quite some time at that stage, I was going to make that money we had work as hard as I possibly could. So I did. I opened my first social media account. I'd never had one before because I needed accountability. Got it tracked, did a whole no spend year, and I tried to make our money work as hard as we possibly could, but still have a really good quality of life. And that kind of set things off. That's where we ended up cutting our outgoings by over €27,000, changed everything about how I thought and looked at money. And that was the start of where I am now.
This is after clearing that debt. So
after clearing the debt.
Focusing on the money. The 10 years of pain to clear all of that debt, that, That must have been incredible to keep your whole family and keep your life together in that.
It was really hard. It was really hard, partly because on paper, like, I had a degree. I worked in pharma, so I should be fine. But the world doesn't always work like that. And the world throws you curveballs when you least expect it. Because nobody writes in, I'm going to get a scheduled curveball thrown at me on, you know, Tuesday the 21st of March. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't prepared for it at all. And I think that's where a lot of people are seeing things nowadays, where, like, you've been working really hard, you've been bringing the money in, but now life is throwing these curveballs that are absolutely outside your control. But it is about looking at, well, what can you do that's within your control that can make a difference? And that's what I naively started doing. Loads of mistakes, loads of things wrong. But that's what I've been doing ever since, and slowly but surely refining the process.
You have incredible experience as your credentials, basically. And you didn't emerge with any bitterness over the fact that, you know, you had to pay it all back. And we know the people who caused the crash didn't have to.
Look, I mean, anybody can spend time going, I wish things were different. I signed for that mortgage. At the end of the day, I picked out the house. Now, it was off plans, and I was literally, I remember the day I picked out the house.
You weren't alone.
Yeah, it was literally off plans. And I remember the estate agent saying, oh, look, if you don't have your deposit in by 3 o'clock today, it goes up by 5,000 euro. Like, that was the environment
we
were
the
in.
Pressure, yeah.
Which is very different, but not dissimilar to the environment we're in now.
Yes. Yeah.
And look, the way I kind of, look, it is lovely to have a roof over our heads, and like, we're in a lovely position now, and I do not regret anything I did to get to where I am. But when you sign on a legal document, you owe that money. And that is something that I wish we were educated more on. Mm-hmm. I wish it was something we understood more, because financial literacy in this country, it's one of the lowest in the whole OECD. And when you look at that for our level of education, our level of productivity, our level of capability, like, it's not brains, it's not capability, it's none of that. It's our financial literacy and our understanding of money and the consequence of money is not quite there yet.
And that's where you come in. And people are constantly coming to you for help, aren't they, and advice. What do they mostly ask you for these days?
Honestly, a lot of what I do now is based around really boxing clever with your day-to-day money, right? That financial literacy piece, and I'd love to have a nicer phrase on it, is so important, because it doesn't matter how much money you're bringing in, if you're not using that properly and giving every single euro you have a job, like for fun, for building, for paying off debt, whatever it is, mm-hmm. if you're not doing that properly, it's hard to move forward. And the second big thing is, and I love planting the seed of financial freedom, financial independence, and particularly for women. We're at this lovely age in Ireland where men and women are working equally. We're getting educated to the same level, like more women have degrees than men. Things are changing rapidly, but just planting that seed that it's not just the day-to-day grind. It's not just getting to the next paycheck. It's building on that and giving yourself options, particularly when you're in a cost of living crisis, or a cost of living reality is what it's starting to look like.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, okay, I can stand on my own 2 feet, whatever life throws at me. So that investing piece and the financial freedom piece is something I'm really strongly believing in.
Incredible thing to do to, you know, change your career like that. How did you begin? What was day one like in the job that you have now?
I don't even know if there was a day one. Because when I walked away, my initial plan was just, I'm just going to have this year. I'm just going to have 1 year.
Oh, you're going to do 1 year. Okay. Were you scared about the year?
I was petrified.
Right.
Because I still had a lot of those kind of limiting beliefs, those negative narratives. What are you doing leaving a good job? Mm-hmm. And well-meaning people, like genuinely well-meaning people, would ring me up and go like, are you okay? Something happening? Is your marriage falling apart?
It's so unusual to do that.
It was so unusual to leave at my point where I had young children. I had quite a good career path ahead of me. Like, I had a lot going for me, and I do not recommend necessarily leaving your job. But for me, it was the right choice. I needed something a bit different, and I needed that time with my children, which I thought was just 1 year, but it has worked out to be a whole new career path.
You must have worked really hard that first year.
Do you know what? Thank you. I'm going to say thank you to that, because at the time I kept thinking, am I just really naive here? Am I just really silly doing what I'm doing? But I knew no matter what I did, I kept coming back to, I can always earn money, even if I was cleaning toilets, even if I was whatever.
Yes.
But
that's the not panicking about your debt bit, isn't it?
Yes.
If you're able, you'll do something.
I would do something. But the one thing I couldn't do, Oliver, is I could never turn back time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So focus on what you can control.
Yes. And my kids were young, and I just wanted to have that little bit more space and time with them, and I could figure out the rest, whatever the heck that looked like. But I just needed, that's what I kept coming back to. And no matter what my cognizant, my practical brain was, no, Kel, you need to bring in that money, you need to bring in more and more money. The other part of me was, until we discover time travel, this is what you need to do.
Is how you make money out of the business then, when you started out, different to what happens now?
Very much so. Because initially, I didn't even plan on having a business. What happened was, after the no-spend year, I got in contact with a publisher, and that's where I wrote the book.
Your personal story, yeah.
Yes, and it's a kind of half how-to, half kind of personal story, because I think a lot of people could resonate with that financial crisis back in 2008, 2009. Yeah. I think a lot of people now can even resonate with, like, when I'm trying to get a mortgage and it keeps getting out of my reach. Like, these cycles happen all the time and it's really hard to get out of them. And there's a new generation coming up, like I mentioned, they may never even be able to have a home. And what does that look like for them? Like, people in our parents' generation, there was a job for life. That's changing now. What does it look like for them? Like, there's always going to be something. And I think not having a total set plan, yes, having a plan is important, but not having a rigid goal, a rigid, this is how life can be and it can't be any other way. I think that's something a lot of us are just throwing in the bin now, because 6 months' time, we don't know what the world will look like.
Yeah. How does your business work now then? Who's paying you to do what?
That is a really good question. Yes, apologies. So what I work on now is, I would do a lot of corporate work, a lot of corporate well-being, that financial literacy piece. And I absolutely love that, because it doesn't matter your income, all of us can box a little bit clever with our money. And the other side of it is, I would teach people how to invest. And just that, I have a whole course on that. So I would do that, and I would do some one-on-one coaching and things. But that would be the bulk of what I'm doing. A lot of writing, creating courses where people can learn at their own time, but very much focused on teaching people how to invest. And that's
a very good, clear guidance the whole way through.
Breaking it down, keeping it simple. It does not have to be difficult.
Money control is not about not having too little. It can affect anybody at all.
Anybody? Oh, absolutely. Like, on paper, I would have been what was seen to be a good income earner all my life. But, like, I was at a point where we were paying a mortgage, paying rent, paying €2,000 a month just to keep children in creche. Like, that's somebody with a on paper, reasonably good income, but that doesn't mean you've something on the other side. And there are people now who would have been able to save a year or two ago, but with inflation and cost of living going up and cost of mortgages and interest rates changing all the time, now suddenly they're finding themselves going, actually, I can't save like I used to be able to save, or I'm even only barely making it to paycheck. And these are people on good incomes. And that's a big shift that we haven't had in a long time.
What do you kind of say to people who are, they want to buy this dress or this top or whatever they're out to purchase, you know, they really want it, even though they're not really maybe thinking about what it's going to cost them down the line?
Yes, that's a really big question, because that's a huge symptom of a lot of things that are going on. Because we're in a world now, Oliver, where we have, the internet is there all the time. Our phones are in our hands all the time. That is,
you're looking for the dopamine hit.
You're looking for the dopamine hit.
Shopping can give you sometimes.
Yes.
Short-lived.
Absolutely, because our lives are so busy. It's nice to have that little escape. And there's a couple of things where our human brain is wired, and that dopamine hit is really important. Pressing that buy button can feel really, really good. But also, there's huge things being handled in the background that we may or may not realize that are happening. So, for example, humans are wired to avoid loss, to have loss aversion. We hate losing things. So when you see a sale or something and the sale says, look, you know, there's only two left in stock,
yes,
or the sale ends midnight.
Very clever, isn't it?
Yes, because we feel loss as humans way more than we feel gain. And if you think, oh, I'll never get that thing again, that urgency kicks in. And when you press the buy button, you feel it even better. And then you've topped that with another human piece. And that's this thing called self-efficacy, where we like to be seen to be good at things. We like to know that we're savvy.
Right.
And you see something and you go, oh, this is a great sale. It's like 70% off, and it's the dress or top or whatever it is. You go, I'm a savvy shopper for getting that. So if you have 70% off sale dress, for example, to use what you said, and it's only a 24-hour sale, and you press that buy button, that's a trifecta of feel good. And that's there every time you go online when you
shop. You're going to want to do it again and again.
Yes,
of course. The 70% was never on it in the first place.
Potentially not. And that's why it's really important, particularly with like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And a lot of it is online and it's in store as well. Like, when you are shopping, there's a couple of things, if I may say, just to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
Like, one is, make sure it's a genuine sale. Now, that can
How
be,
will you know?
This is the thing. It can be easier said than done because things are getting a lot more sophisticated.
Okay, yeah.
So there are some great sales out there. And I would say go with stores you know already that you've bought during the year. You know they've good customer service. Maybe they have a long tradition, you know, being in Ireland, or they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
If they're a new store, or maybe they're a local business or something, there's a lot of great local business out there that do genuinely good sales. But definitely if you're in doubt, or if it's a new store to you or anyway unsure, go on to Trustpilot. Go on to look to see if they have Google reviews, just to see what other people are saying. That can be a really telling place. And another place you can go to make sure you're getting the best prices is somewhere like Camel, or I think Keepsa or Price Spy, and they will help you compare prices across different platforms.
They're similar to Trustpilot, but more detail, is that
what? Yes.
It?
Well, they would compare prices, whereas something like Trustpilot would give you customer reviews.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when you do your due diligence, then you can make a much more educated guess as to go, this is legitimate or not. This is for me or not.
Will you get a good, you're convinced, aren't you, that you'll get a good sale offer in the local shop rather than in the big conglomerates online?
It really does depend. I don't want to say that some of the conglomerates don't have really good sales. They may very well do, but I would definitely say do your due diligence, because there's a lot of RRP was this, your sale price is this.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of research, but I think it's worthwhile, particularly if you have a list when it comes to these sales.
Uh-huh.
Because if you have a list going in, going, look, do you know what, we need a really good winter jacket.
You're looking for the things, yes, okay.
Exactly.
A match if it's on sale.
Be deliberate with your shopping.
Rather than being lured in by something you don't actually want at all.
You're a natural at this, Oliver. You already have it. But like, be really deliberate. You've worked really hard for this money. And going in with a list allows you to make sure you get the right thing. And what if you can avoid it at all, and I know when we're tired and it's Friday night and we end up scrolling, please do not go online looking for inspiration for
don't
your
go
shopping.
Browsing, okay.
Don't go browsing.
Something you never do.
I won't say I never do it. I'm human. But I would definitely say try and avoid it, because if you go on looking for inspiration, I can guarantee you, you're going to find loads of inspiration, and you're going to come away with 10 things that you may never use that are 80% off. But if you go in with a list, you might find something that's 40% off, and genuinely so, that you have for 10 plus years.
Because you've done the price research on what it was before and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
You're very careful with websites, making sure that they have very transparent details and delivery returns, that kind of thing.
Yes. Look, the legitimate websites will have really clear, here's our return policy, like the CCPC in Ireland, so the Consumer Protection, we have really strong rights, particularly with online and in-store as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure that they cover under correct regulation, make sure that you're reading your transparency. And if a business is not transparent with this, be very careful about handing your money over.
Right. It's very sensible. What are the things you always do this time of the year coming into the shopping season?
Yes, so this is the big one. Okay, definitely I do have a list. I have a list of things. Now,
right.
I might start, and it could be on your phone, something simple. You go, look, do you know, child one definitely needs a new pair of runners sometime in the next month. Or, you know, like I need a new winter jacket. Or
you started the list ages ago.
Yeah, but you know, on your phone, you think, you know, one of the kids will
the
come.
The thought occurs.
Correct. Put a little note in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, I have two kids coming up to teenage time, so phones are becoming more important, the tech type of thing. So have a look around. Don't buy straight away. Don't go, I'll get you that for you today. Like, there's great places where you can get refurbed tech online.
Yeah.
And go with the ones that have the good ratings, the good customer service, the good reviews, maybe where you've bought before, that kind of thing. So definitely just be really, really careful with that. Another thing is when you are buying, I mentioned a bit already, just future-proof your purchases. So go for the things that you know are going to last you 10 plus years.
Right. You're not into trends.
I try not to be.
Right now, it's going to be really hot or very expensive now, and there'll be piles of it unsold in a few months' time.
Yes. And let's be frank here. Neon doesn't suit most people.
So neon is never on trend.
Neon and leg warmers tend not to be a long-running trend that we have. So buy things that suit you, that you feel really good in.
Give us your 24-hour rule again.
Oh, yes, this is so important, because dopamine is such an attractive thing to get a hit off of. If you see something, and whether you did get caught in inspirational browsing, and we've all been caught in that, or you're not sure, or it's a bit off the list or something like that, just put it in the cart. Put it in the cart and leave it for at least 24 hours, ideally 72.
Okay.
Because if it's worth your while getting it, it's still going to be there most Well, likely in 24 hours.
Your panic has cooled off and now you've a clearer head.
You've a clear head. It's like going grocery shopping on an empty stomach versus a full stomach.
For listeners getting the last wages before the end of the year, what is the simplest way to avoid a really bad January?
Yes, this is one that catches so many of us so often. Two big things I will tell you to do. First thing, and make this a non-negotiable, sit down and do a 1 hour Christmas audit. Literally pull out your calendar. Look, who do you have visiting? Where are you going? Mm-hmm. What are your commitments? All those kind of things. Who are you gifting for? And just spend an hour, cup of tea, cup of coffee, whatever it is, and just write out what you need. And the second thing you do, and because you'll have to budget that a little bit, and this is definitely a non-negotiable, is pay January 1st. Now, what I mean when I say that is you look at your bills. So you look, do you have mortgage or rent? What are your utility bills? What are the bare bones to get you through January?
Prioritise all those.
Absolutely. Put that money aside. Like, just put it away in a different savings account or somewhere out of sight, out of mind. So that means if you've your little audit done, you're going to get through Christmas feeling better. But also, there's such great peace of mind to know that January's sorted. And you can enjoy yourself then.
Enjoy yourself then. Because the enjoyment now that kind of makes January sore, isn't it? There's some questions. Well, trust also tips. Trust the retailers who keep the prices the same all year round, like many local businesses do. I think that's kind of what you've already covered. We live on a very low income, but we get to be with our kids from birth to 18 plus. We make lots of material sacrifices. We buy used goods, etc. Our children still have a great life. Just a little different. You can't buy back time with your kids.
Oh, I'm so a fan of that. That's brilliant.
That's from Jacinta. My business went in the crash too. Bailiffs, court judgment, suppliers. It was a nightmare. It's not over yet. I'm still paying it and I'll probably be paying it until the day that I die. The most horrible experience.
Debt is heavy. Debt is heavy, and it's not just the money. It's your pride. We tie up a lot of who we are in our businesses and our income and what we do. So it is really important to box as clever as you can with money, even if it's in small amounts, so that you can protect yourself going forward. My heart goes out to that listener.
And they just need to, what can they do? What do you tell those people?
It's hard to know out of context.
Of course,
yeah. It really is. But like, keep close contact with anybody that's involved in that, in the sense of like debts, that kind of thing. And
said don't panic.
Don't panic. Just keep the communication going and take it one step at a time.
Step by step, one foot in front of the other. Kel Gallivan, thank you so much for coming in. Mrs. Smart Money. And that's the best place to get you, isn't it? Mrs. Smart Money HQ on Instagram. It's kind of the place to go for all the tips.
Absolutely. Or on LinkedIn or at my website.
You'll be busy for the next while, I'd say. Thanks, man. We'll chat to you again another time. And well, that's all our business for today, basically. Rachel English is coming up next on the News at One, and we'll chat to you again tomorrow. Have a lovely Monday, everybody. Slán.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.